Good morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
Fire!
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh my, who's better than Vince?
Sarah Cazell. And Jared Carlin. It can only be Sarah. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning, happy Friday, Valley sports fans. Did everybody sleep fast?
I had no choice.
Vinny and I were just talking, you know, it's we've got our own little weirdness here in this crew, and Jarrett's about as weird as they get. But Vinny and I were talking, when you get all the hosts together in one room for one broadcast, you realize how weird your coworkers really are.
Say that again.
We are the normal ones in this radio station.
It's fun, though, don't you think?
Of course it is.
These few times a year, big roundtable.
Where were you? Why were you not out there?
Because I was here. I was here
until 10 p.m. last night.
You were here to 10 p.m. last night?
Around, long after both you guys left, Luke Wolf and Dave did the full show. But so last night I'm leaving the station and I stop in the bathroom on the way home and I'm like, I'm exhausted and I'm like, all right, I need to drive home. So I go, I wash my hands and I just splash cold water all over my face.
Just to wake up. Wow.
But I'm in the bathroom in the hall, and then I realize there are no paper towels or anything in that bathroom.
And now you have nothing but a dripping face
and hair, and I'm like sticking my face under the so air blower.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But yeah, at least they brought in free food.
I did not know that. I'm going to be especially kind and gentle with you today, Jarrett. Okay. Good job, Jarrett. Yeah, okay. Good job, Jarrett.
Good job, both of you on the broadcast as well. It was a very successful, show.
It was a very easy night of work. I did very little heavy lifting.
Yes, I told them to make Luke the driver. I said, on these round tables, you like to sort of just like...
I told Luke he was driving.
Right.
Well, at one point, they had all three
Vinny's
drivers.
Vinny's fine with everybody driving, unless it's me, in the literal sense.
We've covered this.
No, I'm joking.
I was a passenger in your vehicle all the way to a foreign country.
Yes, you were. That is a very good point.
And I didn't say word.
Not one word.
Now, on the way back, I was so damaged, I couldn't talk.
That's true. That's a really good point. All right, well, this is a big day. We got the NFL draft still going on. We got a playoff game tonight. Start the show, Ferret!
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Any ball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
The first round of the 2024 NFL draft is in the books. The Arizona Cardinals stayed at number four and in the process got their man, wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State. Harrison had 144 catches for over 2,400 yards and 28 touchdowns over the last two seasons for the Buckeyes. He becomes the first wide receiver drafted in the top four since 2015 when the Raiders selected Amari Cooper of Alabama. Cardinals also hung on to their 27th overall pick. They drafted Missouri defensive end Darius Robinson, 6'5", 285 pounds, racked up 43 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks for the Tigers last season, and he shined during the week of the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Tonight, the draft continues, rounds 2 and 3, and then Saturday, the process will be completed with rounds 4 through 7. For now, the Cardinals, that means 4 picks tonight, 2 in the second round, 35th overall. One in the second round, 35th overall. 3 in the third round, 66th, 71st, and 90th. Then on Saturday, Cardinals have 1 fourth, 2 fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. Draft coverage all day here on Arizona Sports 98.7, the Arizona Sports app, and ArizonaSports.com.
Yeah, and odds are, if you were a betting man, and I'm not, cornerback will be their next selection in the NFL draft.
Things shook out nicely in the first round for the Cardinals on a couple of different fronts. We'll cover all those angles today. Elsewhere in the first round. The run on quarterbacks everyone was expecting happened, maybe in a bigger way than we were expecting. Caleb Williams went to Chicago, number one. Jaden Daniels of LSU, number two to Washington. Drake May of North Carolina, now a Patriot. They picked him third. Then, surprise, surprise, Michael Penix Jr. of Washington goes to Atlanta at number eight in the most head-scratching pick of the evening. J.J. McCarthy from Michigan went 10th to Minnesota. Bo Nix of Oregon selected 12th by the Broncos. Some local ties, University of Arizona tackle Jordan Morgan went 25th overall to the Packers. Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, 31st overall to San Francisco. So Pearsall joins Jaden Daniels as two former Sun Devils who went in the first round.
That's you talk about a curious pick. That means a wide receiver from the 49ers is getting traded probably this weekend.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of speculation about Brandon Ayuk, his Ricky Pearsall's former teammate at ASU.
Yeah.
So, Suns and Timberwolves back at it tonight. Series shifts to downtown Phoenix for games 3 and 4. Grayson Allen said yesterday his ankle's feeling a lot better than he thought it would. He's calling himself questionable for tonight's game 3. Allen has left both games of the series after turning his right ankle in both. And while he's been on the court, it's been a struggle. 7 points in the two games. He's made just 1 3-point bucket. Everything else coming at the free throw line.
Yeah, my gut feeling on the reaction yesterday that he feels better than he thought, the way I interpreted that is probably not tonight, but he feels good about Sunday. That's the way I feel about it.
We shall see.
We'll see.
Tip off tonight, 7:30. You can hear it here on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30. Last night in the NBA, and Orlando enjoyed some home cooking. They got back into a series with Cleveland, winning 121-83 in Game 3. Paolo Banchero, 31 points, 14 boards for the Magic. Cleveland still leads that series 2-1. Joel Embiid somehow didn't get ejected, but scored 50 points as the Sixers notched a 125-114 win over the Knicks in Game 3. New York still holds a 2-1 lead. Did you see the foul on Mitchell Robinson?
I did not, no.
So, Joe, early in the game, Joel Embiid's trying to draw a foul on defense and flops, as he does, on every possession. And while he's down on the ground, Mitchell Robinson goes up for a rebound. While he's in the air, Embiid pulls him down by both legs.
Well, that's not very sportsmanlike.
Got a flagrant one. If it was a flagrant two, he should have been out.
Wow.
And a lot of people are saying if it was a different player,
he would have been ejected.
It was a very, very dirty play. The Denver Nuggets continued their domination of the Lakers with a 112-105 win in L.A. to take a 3-0 series lead. Aaron Gordon, 29 points, 15 boards for the champs, who have now beaten the Lakers 11 straight times.
Wow.
And reduced LeBron James to his postgame press conference saying, look, it's just basketball, not life and death.
Yeah.
If that's the case, just go away.
Yeah, LeBron. He was giving off Kevin Durant vibes, wasn't he?
Tonight in the playoffs, two other games on tap outside of Phoenix. Get started with Game 3 in Indianapolis. Pacers-Bucks in a series that's even at 1-1. Tip-off the always popular 2:30 Arizona time on ESPN. Then it's Clippers-Mavericks Game 3 in Dallas. That series also tied at 1-1. Tip-off there is at 5 o'clock. D-backs are in Seattle. They start a three-game series against the Mariners. Eighth game of a 10-game road trip that has seen them go 3-4 to this point. They dropped 2 of 3 in St. Louis. Zach Gallen on the mound for the Snakes tonight against Seattle All-Star right-hander George Kirby. First pitch, 6:40. You can hear it on ESPN 620 in the Arizona Sports app, beginning with pregame coverage at 6. Utah coach Andre Tourney has been named the head coach for Team Canada in the upcoming IIHF World Championship in Czechia next month. Tourney coached the Coyotes for the last 3 seasons, now keeping that position and living his best hockey life in Salt Lake City. And former ASU quarterback Jaden Rashada has his new home. He's transferring to Georgia after entering the portal last week. Rashada played a total of 3 games as a Sun Devil, 485 yards, 4 touchdowns, and his path to this point has been remarkable. Originally committed to Miami in June of 2022, while he was still in high school. Decommitted from Miami 5 months later, committed the same day to Florida, where he was part of a well-publicized but poorly planned $13 million NIL deal. That fell apart. A month later, Rashada committed to Arizona State, where his father Harlan played in the 90s, his dream school, but now he's off to Georgia. I wonder if he started writing his Heisman Trophy.
Where he's sure to win the Heisman Trophy next season. Yeah. Keeping up with the brand new Sun Devil tradition.
Ouch. There we go. A jam-packed splash on this Friday, April 26th. Coming up, we'll get into the Cardinals' first-round draft picks. The consensus is they did pretty well for themselves. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. After staying put and landing Marvin Harrison Jr. and Darius Robinson in round one, what do Monty Austin Fort and the Arizona Cardinals have up their sleeve for round two? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
With the fourth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
Hey, Bird Games, Marvin Harrison Jr. here. I'm super excited to be drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. I can't wait to get to work and win some football games.
Big guy, big target, great work ethic. I think there's certainly a lot to like about this player. A lot of his plays come, outside. He's not really a catch and run guy. He's more of a contested catch player. Certainly a big target in the red zone and third down. I mean, there's no doubt he'll help the Cardinals. And, he gives them it's a big guy to cover.
Bill Belichick, draft analyst. How about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think of that. There's a lot of weirdness.com with that. Seriously,
just hear the energy in his voice.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It just doesn't even sound like him.
Imagine if he did his commentary like
right.
This.
Well, it in some ways, isn't it nice to watching him have to? Yes.
Maybe this was an act the whole time.
Yeah, well, it is. Right. And the fact that now he's subjugating himself and playing the game because he needs a job.
Well, let's face it. For his entire coaching career, Bill Belichick, that voice was his way of pulling an Alex Morello. I don't like the media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Now he's one of them.
At least Alex came out and said it. You know what I mean? At least he came out. At least he wasn't BSing anybody.
Honesty is still respected.
Yes, I do. I get it.
He's going to be on Pat McAfee's show every week during football season. If you want to,
Alex Morello?
I was going to say that. No.
The other one.
He did have Ryan Smith on last week, but no.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. That's
really
a weird combo, okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Energy wise,
right.
There you go. Marvin Harrison Jr., the pick at number four. Cardinals also stayed at number 27. They got Darius Robinson, the defensive end from Missouri. But let's focus on MHJ.
Yeah, let's do it.
Maserati Marv.
Yeah.
This was the pick that, and I know after the pick on the draft show, you guys were kind of thinking about it and going back into the memory banks. Is this the most popular pick in recent memory for the Cardinals? In terms of the universal appeal of Marvin Harrison Jr. Cardinals fans have been wanting this guy since midway through last season. There's this big push to build a statue now for Matt Prater for missing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Missing a field goal.
Yeah, and he got a lot of that last night.
A couple field goals to make sure that the Cardinals got number four overall.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. It's reality. It's not speculation anymore. The Cardinals didn't sound like Monty Austin Fort was all that tempted to get out of four with the way things shook ahead. And I think this is the right decision.
I'm not sure there were really any offers at four. I'm not sure he really, there was really demand. The quarterbacks went in two different stages.
The way it played out, it looked like everything was BS that was told to us in the last month.
Well, imagine that, huh? Imagine that. So I do, either way, in my opinion, the Cardinals landed in the right spot, in the smart spot, and that is selecting Marvin Harrison Jr. because there was an embrace. There was a feeling as soon as the pick was made of people cheering. Even Gambo, Captain Arizona, pumping his fist. He's a Giants fan.
He was pumping his fist because Marvin Harrison Jr. was in the Gambo 5.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So the only bummer, as people pointed out, is, hey, where can we get our Marvin Harrison Jr. merch? Well, yeah, you can't just yet.
Just yet. Did we get to the bottom of why that hasn't been signed
yet? I don't know why he hasn't signed off on that.
He didn't do anything normal in the pre-draft process.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't have an agent either, right?
Maybe that's why he didn't sign the agreement.
Well, listen, and I think what we've I love the conversation we had with Charles Davis a couple of days ago because I think it really illuminated truth. And that is these young whippersnappers, The ones who come out of college and want things kind of on their terms now really upset the old guard, really upset the old school, who want these whippersnappers.
Who do you think you are?
You should be grateful.
Respect the game.
Right.
How dare you not want to compete? Is running in your underwear competing, really? Anyway, you wrote a column, a great column on ArizonaSports.com that people could check out. And, you know, the gist of it is this pick gets the Larry Fitzgerald stamp of approval. Marvin Harrison Jr. Was on ESPN Radio last night, talked about being compared to Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry the legend. He really is a legend, man, to be able to play for as long as he did and be successful throughout that whole career. I'm definitely honored to be able to be, have those comparisons. And I'm going to do my best to just be the best player that I can be. And I'm not worried about anything else. I'm going to have comparisons my whole life. I'm going to compare it to my dad. Larry's another great player now that I'd be compared to, but I'm just going to go out there and try to be the best player I can.
You know, the thing about this this NFLPA stance that Marvin Harrison Jr. is taking that would affect me more so than the merch, because I'm not a wear a jersey kind of guy. You can't get him in Madden until he signs his deal.
Yeah, he's just going to be wide receiver 18.
And he's going to be really good wide receiver 18. So, I do think that I do think there was some obvious star power. He looked like a badass last night in his getup. So this is good. This is the first big communal campfire embrace we've had as a sports town since we've been stripped of our major league sports town status.
Yeah. Look, there's been a lot on the negative side of the ledger. To get something positive is a good thing. Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN on Marvin Harrison Jr.'s work ethic.
A lot bigger than Marvin Harrison Sr. Marvin Harrison Sr., 5'11 and a half, 181. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'3 and a quarter, 210. Marvin Harrison ran 4.33. Marvin Harrison Jr., not that fast. Marvin Harrison Sr., 12th, a 19th pick overall in 96 here. Marvin Harrison Jr., the 4th pick overall. You see the body control, the ability to adjust and be a power forward in the red zone. He had 29 receptions against press coverage the last 2 years, most in FBS, 15 contested catches on third down the last 2 years, most in FBS, and he did it this year, and his numbers didn't lag. He was exactly numbers-wise, production-wise, what he was 2 years ago, and he did it with C.J. Stroud, he did it with Colin McCord, who, by the way, is at Syracuse, guys. You talk about a receiver who gets it, he's going to work as hard as anybody.
Yeah, and about that hard work, I mean, if you look back to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s path to get to this point, you know, obviously the name means something. His dad was a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He was the third-rated wide receiver prospect in his own recruiting class at Ohio State.
Wow.
He was number 24, the number 24 to 27 on 24/7 Sports in his own class nationally. So, yeah, the name meant something. But he made it mean even more with the way he played, especially over the last 2 years for Ohio State. Yeah. I love this pick.
Yeah, so do I. I think he really does check so many boxes in terms of what he does on the football field, down to down, the numbers, the analytics, all of it. It's pretty much everything you want in a guy. And as Larry Fitzgerald told me, he calls him a generational talent. That's good enough for me. So and here's the other thing, too. Marvin Harrison Jr., yesterday said he wants to play with Kyler Murray. And it dawned on me that for all the Cardinal fans who still hate on Kyler Murray, who do not like Kyler Murray at all, there are still a lot of good players in the NFL, wide receivers, who want to play with him.
Yeah.
That's a sign of respect.
Absolutely. Join Burns and Gambo at FanDuel Sportsbook at downtown Phoenix tonight from 2 to 6. First 50 fans who come down and show their Arizona Sports app will score a limited edition Phoenix Suns playoff shirt. For complete details, head over to the contest page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, a lot of football talk today, but there's basketball to look at as well. Suns are back home. They're trying to stay alive against Minnesota. Can they? We'll explore the possibilities next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Can you just expand on the communication part specifically? Just what that entails? Who's talking?
Just talking to each other, holding each other accountable. You know, I've been saying it. You know, we're all trying to fight out there. And, you know, so far in this series, once it's turned to, you know, we we've kind of separated instead of being together. So, and that's everybody top to bottom. Something we got to figure out.
That was Devin Booker Tuesday night after a Game 2 loss in Minnesota in a conversation with Kellen Olsen post-game. Pretty telling stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
In this series, when things have gone, when they've gone to bleep, we've all fallen apart.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me that all the media at practice yesterday kind of had a sit down with Kevin Durant, and he was kind of asked point blank, is this team connected? And I thought Katie's answer was very interesting. It was, of course we are. If you would see us behind the scenes, you know how hard we grind. And it, yeah. and it sounded a little off to me because we don't have to see what's going on behind the scenes to see what's going on the court during these playoff games. But at least they are putting out a good front going into Game 3, claiming they're together.
Isn't that more disappointing if truly they are together, connected, on the same page, whatever phrase you want to use, and that's what's happening on the court?
There's the truth of it, Vinny. Yeah, that would be even more depressing.
Here's Kevin Durant on the importance of having everyone on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we know what the mission is from day one. We understood what we were trying to get to, what type of team we wanted to be, what we wanted to play at the end of the season. So everybody's been, you know, coming in here with that type of mindset since training camp started. You know, so, of course, we're on the same page. When we lose a game, it's definitely going to look like that because we lost a game. But if you dig deeper to who we are as a team, if you're around us every day and see what we do and how we grind every day as a team, you wouldn't ask those questions. But I get it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't see the inside.
Yeah, and then more on that subject, if he feels the communication is good.
Yeah, I think so. So we just didn't play. We just didn't play well. We just didn't execute. You could talk all you want. If you don't execute what you just talked about, it does you no good, you know? So, yeah, talking and rah-rah speeches and all that stuff is cool to a certain point, but you got to go out there and execute. I mean, we haven't done that. We've done it in spurts. Don't get me wrong. Throughout this series. But it's not good enough doing it in spurts, you know? So sometimes you just got to do it instead of thinking too much or talking too much. And I think we got guys that done that before who've understood that, you know, it's just about getting the job done at the end of the day, regardless of what's being said or how you feel or what's on your heart as a person or player. Just get your job done. I think we'll do that. But we got to put it together consistently. And I think that's what our season's been. Sometimes we put it together for long stretches, and then sometimes we don't.
I do agree with that on the surface. Like, great communication doesn't ensure anything. And Devin Booker was the one that called out the communication on Tuesday night. There has been a lack of execution. They have done it in stretches. Those stretches have not been long enough. And Game 2 was very telling again and very discouraging if you're a Suns fan, because it wasn't the star players of Minnesota that were inflicting the damage. You know, the Suns' star players got outplayed by Minnesota's role players.
Yep, indeed.
And now, you know, Game 3, Game 2 to me is, if you're making massive adjustments in Game 2, it might come off as a panic move, both externally and internally.
Agreed.
Going into Game 3 with the way those first two games went in Minnesota, I'm real curious to see what Frank Vogel has up his sleeve, not just from a, you know, a tactical standpoint, but from a personnel standpoint. Mm. You said you got the feeling, Grayson, listening to Grayson Allen yesterday, that, hey, maybe not tonight, maybe Sunday. Well, that forces adjustments personnel-wise.
Yeah.
But... And now you got to go deeper into your bench to play somebody that probably hasn't played, and that person, maybe Bol Bol, is going to play significant minutes.
And listen, so I think I'm glad you brought that up, because this is clearly a box that Frank Vogel has to check tonight, if only for the energy he will draw out of the crowd. So you've got to give him a chunk and at least get the decibel return on that investment in the arena, and then maybe he has one of those games. I completely agree that there's got to be a place for Bol Bol tonight, because I think you look at conventional wisdom in the NBA is that role players always play better during your home games, and that was true with the Timberwolves in Game 2. So you got Game 3 and Game 4 where you would hope that the environment at Footprint Center would empower and enable the role players to really contribute, including Bol Bol. Well, none of us really know what this energy is going to be like in Footprint Center. I assume it's going to be good. I assume it's going to be supportive. But there's going to be a lot of tension in that building. and you know this, there's going to be a lot of people wondering if that shoe is going to drop, if it's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a mixed crowd. You know, most of the Minnesota Snowbirds have made their way home by now, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not a fan base that is national. So I think this should be very much a unified Suns crowd. And look, you're paying the playoff prices that they're asking you to pay for those tickets. You better be loud. I think the environment's going to be great to start. It's up to the Suns to keep that environment going.
Okay, well, yes.
And I'll go back to the last home game with Fan Appreciation Night. It was one of the ugliest performances the Suns have put out there in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
They fall behind by 31 points to the Clippers, and I called it the best crowd of the year. So this is, I think this is a battle-tested fan base. They've been through the ups and downs, too. At the heart of it, they're going to be supportive until they're given a reason not to be. That, I mean, that's just my thought.
Well, yeah, I would agree, but I think they've been given a lot of reasons not to be.
They have.
And so that's where I think that what you are going to get guaranteed from the crowd, I don't know what that level is. I think you're right. I think everybody will go there in a good frame of mind. But if things get off bad, you'll hear the murmurs. You might even hear the boos early. So it's incumbent on the Suns to kind of plug into that,
mm-hmm.
right? And as we have said many, many times, it's not incumbent upon the fans to get the basketball team started. It's the other way around.
Yes.
So the Suns need to come out with the energy and with the shot making and their role players and their defense and their tenacity. They've shown the ability. Lord knows they haven't done it enough, but they've shown the ability to overwhelm teams with their offense when the ball is moving and the shots are dropping.
Uh-huh.
They need one of those kind of nights.
Yes. Another thing to work on, obviously, is the turnovers have plagued this team all season long. Certainly a huge factor in game two. Here was KD on what he saw on film from the turnover issue.
A lot of them just like mishandling the ball, just playing a little too fast. I think that's where a lot of our turnovers all year has been coming from, is just us, you know, we speeding ourselves up, playing at a faster pace, trying to get something going, trying to make a thread the needle pass, trying to make something work, and sometimes you got to slow down and take what the defense gives us.
If you look at trends around the league, last night there were three game threes hosted by teams that were down 0-2. Two of those teams won, and the complexion of those games with the shift in scenery was immense. I mean, Orlando going home, they nearly won by 40. They were largely not competitive in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either one of those teams is a factor. Philadelphia going home, that certainly helped them get over the hump. They played a really good game against the Knicks. Nothing can help the Lakers. They can play anywhere, and they're not going to beat them.
Well, yeah, listen, and that, you're right. The Lakers, when they play the Nuggets, they keep getting got at the end, and it almost gives credence to all those people who are spouting that ridiculous take about the Lakers should get out of that side of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they cannot beat Denver.
They cannot beat Denver.
Denver almost toys with them. All three games were the same.
The Lakers
led in the first half, and then just Denver said, all right, that's enough.
Okay, that's game enough over. For you. So if the Nuggets do sweep that, then the Nuggets are going to have a significant advantage in rest over their next opponent if this series with the Suns extends a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I think that between those two games last night, the Suns have to kind of tap into what the 76ers did.
Yeah.
Kind of collaborate with their crowd to get a victory. Any way, shape, or form.
Something else I would like to see tonight, and you made reference to it. The time-honored saying in the NBA is role players play better at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns got to string together good, positive performances by more than one role player. That did not happen in Minnesota. You know, Royce O'Neal was good in game one. Eric Gordon was not.
Right.
They flip-flopped in game two, especially if Grayson Allen can't go. If you get both of those guys contributing positively, that goes a long way to helping this team. Mm-hmm. Taking pressure off the big three, who all need to be better individually, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it would take a lot of pressure off them, too.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. And I also think that tonight they've got to take and make some three-point shots. When you listen to this basketball team, you can almost picture and envision the internal conflicts that they have, where you've got a head coach who wants them to play faster and shoot more three-point shots, and you've got a team, and you just heard Kevin Durant blame the turnovers on trying to play too fast. So, and you got a team that doesn't want to roll like that.
You can play fast and take care of the ball.
I've actually seen it done.
You can do both.
Yes, you can.
7:30 tip off tonight, 6:30 pregame here on Arizona Sports on 98.7. And the Arizona Sports app coming up next. Back to the NFL draft. A lot to chew on from the first round. And some records set, too. We'll get into all of the topics from NFL Draft Night 1 next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
That was the announcement last night. That was the first real curveball. And that was a heck of a 12-6 bender, by the way. Curveball thrown by the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted by the Falcons after they just gave Kirk Cousins a big-time free agent $180 million contract, $100 million guaranteed. Raheem Morris is the new coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And we've talked about this recently, Atlanta's process in finding their next head coach and leaving Bill Belichick out on the sidelines. And they went to Raheem Morris instead. So they curved there as well. Mm-hmm. Here was Raheem Morris explaining the pick of Michael Penix.
The Green Bay model was something that we talked about, and it's been proven to be right last year. So hopefully we'll be right with them.
This is not the Green Bay model.
No, because Jordan Love was at the end of the first round.
Listen. There's a number of reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers was entrenched as the quarterback in Green Bay. You didn't spend $180 million on a free agent quarterback and then draft the guy that you're going to stash away. You're right. Jordan Love was in the 20s. Michael Penix Jr. goes top 10. And by the way, Michael Penix Jr. is old as hell.
Yeah,
He's going to be 25 years old when the season starts, isn't he?
I'm going to zig a little bit here, and I'm going to say that conceptually and theoretically, I actually really like what the Falcons did. I like when teams find a quarterback they like and defy conventionality and go and get the dude. Whether it works or not, I respect the conviction. I felt that way about Mitchell Trubisky. It blew up in the Bears' face. I even felt that way about Trey Lance for the 49. That blew up in their face. So I understand that. The thing that I think I have an issue with, that a lot of people have an issue with, is that Michael Penix Jr. at 8, could you not have traded down and accomplish the same thing?
Probably.
You would hope that their GM, at the very least, tried to sell off that pick. If you were saying to yourself, okay, look, we've got Kirk Cousins for 2 years, maybe three if we want him, and we're going to draft a guy so we don't have to look for somebody down the road, and we're going to let that guy marinate. We're going to let him watch and learn and sit and grow, which is what should happen to all quarterbacks, in my opinion. Now, in the real world, it's never going to happen. Just never, ever going to happen. But I think that the difference in the games, the violence, all the stuff that that being a professional football player entails, if you are a quarterback and you are allowed to sit and process for a year, that is ideal. Again, not feasible in the real world. So in terms of what they did and who they chose, there were people after the combine who said Michael Penix Jr., the most staggering arm talent of the entire crew. Okay, injury prone, been in college forever, issues with him as well. I have no issue with it except being selected at 8. If they didn't try to trade down, there's some dereliction of duty going on there.
No, I'll get on board with something you said, and that is you got to tip your cap to the teams who identify something, and maybe it's not conventional thinking, but they go after the guy that they want.
Right.
That's cool. They didn't have to spend $100 million on Kirk Cousins to do it. They could have got into the Russell Wilson business for $1 million, and this makes a hell of a lot more sense then.
Well, or maybe they think Kirk Cousins is going to help them win now. They've got a very winnable division, and so we're going to get to the playoffs now, and then we're going to have a guy set up behind Kirk Cousins that's going to fortify us going forward.
Yeah, but don't you want to
listen? Hold on. Yes, of course. If you're in it to win it mode, why don't you use the 8th overall pick for a guy who can help you right now? Who would that have been at 8 for Atlanta? Because Atlanta's fine on wide receivers. They're fine on skill players.
anybody who was going to play a down for you this year would have
maybe
helped
a defensive
more?
Player.
Literally
okay.
any defensive
okay.
player, since
okay.
there was none taken.
Okay, but then you don't get Michael Penix Jr. And if that is their guy that they see as their future, then I respect that. At eight, that's a little too rich. And Arthur Blank is getting killed for it. Somebody on Twitter said Arthur Blank must have been wasted before the draft, as in you wake up with a $32 cold order of Taco Bell sitting on your kitchen table. As in you order it from DoorDash and you're half asleep by the time it's
done. Yeah, here's Michael Penix after the draft.
I'm blessed with opportunity. You know, I'm gonna take advantage and make the most out of it. You know, for me, you know, coming in, obviously Kirk Cousins, the guy who's been in the league, you know, he's been in there for a while. You know, he's played a lot of football. And so I feel like for me, I'm going to come in and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn from him, you know, try to soak in all the knowledge that I can from him, because, you know, obviously he's been in the league for a while, like I said. And, you know, it's a reason behind that.
All the reporting coming out of Atlanta and from Kirk Cousins' agent was that Cousins was absolutely blindsided
by
this.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, in that way, it is the Green Bay model.
Yeah. So here's the other weird thing. Why did the Vikings feel compelled to move up from 11 to 10 to get J.J. McCarthy? What freaked them out that they had to move up one spot with the Jets?
They were obviously scared that if they didn't, the Broncos or Raiders would.
Broncos or Raiders would.
Gotcha.
To get ahead of them.
Okay. And it's funny because, so the Raiders are getting killed for drafting Brock Bowers, who's great value at 13.
I like that pick.
This is a top five player in college football. If you're ranking best football player, he's top five.
Yeah.
And the Raiders basically had to take him because of all the runs on quarterbacks.
But they already drafted a tight end high last year.
That's what I'm saying. They it's something they don't need, but the player was so good, you had to take him.
But at their quarterback position, too, this year, I mean, O'Connell was playable. They got Minshew. They can get through a year with those two guys and maybe address quarterback next year if somebody elevates. I don't think they're going to be very good.
But. And also, the other big story, the whole J.J. McCarthy last month was one of the great or worst smoke screens in draft history that, as of yesterday, he could go number two. He wasn't even the fourth quarterback taken.
No.
Well, there were reports during the draft yesterday early on that Minnesota and the Giants were trying to crash into the top three with New England to get a pick. That didn't happen. There were reports that the Chargers turned down several advances on Justin Herbert.
I saw that, too.
They were trying to trade for Justin Herbert, and they said, no thanks, we're good. So there was
testing Jim Harbaugh to put his money where his mouth was with J.J. McCarthy, right?
I think there was a lot, and this applies to the Cardinals, too, sitting at four. I think there was a lot of smoke in terms of phone calls made, inquiries made, and there was no fire.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I was pretty shocked outside of the Penix pick, but the top 12 picks kind of went chalky.
Very much so.
Didn't they?
Very much so.
There's going to be so many trades and so much wheeling and dealing.
Certainly
and really
the
wasn't.
First five. Yeah. And then at six, the Giants did what my guy said they were going to do. They backed off. Instead of getting Daniel Jones' replacement, they got something to help Daniel Jones.
And you nailed the Bo Nix Denver thing that they loved him the whole time.
I was told by a very good source that Sean Payton is in love with that kid. In love with him.
And a lot of people were saying that if you did your mock draft in the middle of March, like March 15th, and then never did another one, you probably nailed like the first 15.
Yeah.
Because this is what everything was projected to be a month ago, and then everything went crazy.
Right. Well, there you go. That, folks, is the essence of the NFL draft. We all get taken. We all get dropped into like just an alternative reality, and we're just spun around in a dryer, and it's crazy.
Yeah, you can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620 right now. Coming up, Cardinals get some help on the offense in Marvin Harrison Jr. and some help on the defensive side with Darius Robinson. We'll get into those picks and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.